And welcome into a post-game edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Preseason is underway. What a great feeling. What a beautiful crowd on hand last night at the AAC. Guys, you guys were awesome. That did not sound like a preseason game. You guys filled the seats. Man, Stars Nation, they are excited for this season. That was really, really cool. Stars pick up the victory. And let's talk about some of the things that we saw. First, let's start with the debut of Victory Plus. Congratulations to the Stars, everyone behind the camera, the organization. I can't say it enough. It takes a lot of gusto to say that, you know, we're going to go away from tradition and we're going to do this on our own. As a person who runs the radio station, I'm familiar with setting up broadcasts and the manpower and what it takes, the planning and the meetings to pull off what you want as far as a great broadcast. So I know looking on social media, there were some critiques and that's understandable. But when you watch the game, here's my question for you. Did you feel as though you were watching a Bally's broadcast or a Fox Sports Southwest broadcast? Because I will tell you, I pretty much felt like I was. And that is a massive compliment in game number one that I completely felt comfortable with what they were showing me. The highlights were fine. I absolutely love the score, how it's bright and bold. If there were some tweaks, I love the ice time on the bottom, although I think it would be really cool maybe if we can brighten that up somehow. But I mean, those are such minor aspects. I really felt as though I was watching a TV broadcast. And at the end of the day, that's what we want. So Stars being visionary. I love that Pete DeBoer's press conference was on there. Love that the boys working the broadcast didn't have ties on. I thought that was really cool. What a cool moment when Brian Ray was challenged on his tie and took off a clip-on tie. And if you know the backstory, if you don't, I'll give it to you because I was telling Brian via text this morning how impressed I was, with that. And he said, if you know the practical joke that's gone on. So Brian Ray was talking one time and during the intermission, there was on the AAC scoreboard, Brian Ray wears clip-on ties. And throughout the season, it became a joke where different aspects of Brian Ray were on the scoreboard during the intermissions, as Seve would slowly turn. And, because Seve just absolutely loves to dish it out. So he would turn and watch it and it would catch Brian's attention. So for him to have the clip-on tie tonight and for Seve to refer to it and say, you know, you got to loosen up, whether they planned it or not, it seemed organic. It was a beautiful thing. So that was terrific. So stick tap on Victory Plus. I do have one criticism that I think they will figure it out because it's going to take time to get the kinks out. But to me, I think Stars fans in an on-demand platform, they're used to Peacock, they're used to Amazon, they're used to other platforms. And unfortunately, that's the standard that you have to live by. So one of the aspects that I personally would love to see is on demand pretty immediately after the game as far as the replay. So it was posted on Victory Plus that it was going to happen at 11 p.m. and it did not happen. So ESPN Plus did have that, and kudos to the NHL. I was talking to producer Gregory Finley before we went on the air, and in Pittsburgh, they actually took the feed of MSG. At the end of the day, we all love our announcers, but we want to watch hockey and we want to watch our team. So if that means I have to watch a Madison Square Garden pro New York feed, I'm totally okay with that. In fact, it's a good way to learn about the teams, especially when they're within your division. And St. Louis saw that because they watched the Victory Plus feed last night. So massive kudos to Victory Plus and the NHL for allowing that. But if we could get that on-demand feature up quicker, I think that would be great because Stars fans can't watch a lot of times in real time. They did have the will you want to watch from the beginning. So that's a great feature. So you can go back. But at the same time, once the game is over, you had to wait if you didn't have ESPN, and you had to wait. It is now up there. So, but the cool thing, we get to watch preseason hockey, and Brian Ray and Razor are going to do a cool thing on Victory Plus, where it's kind of like a casual sit down, kind of a Manning cast, if you will, where they have some guests come on. But ESPN Plus, I did check, they will also have the game preseason wise tomorrow. It doesn't appear as though preseason games are being blacked out. Whether or not they'll be blacked out in the season, that's interesting, because you're no longer dealing with a contract of a local TV provider. So that's kind of fascinating as well. So maybe we'll see the games on ESPN Plus. I'll have to check on that for you. At the same time, it's great to see that hockey is back. So Stick Tap, Victory Plus, and they have a ton of time to get all the kinks out. And that's wonderful to see. You know what was really cool when the game started was the tribute to the Gaudreau brothers, followed by 13 seconds of silence. The crowd did a magnificent job, and just right into the Star Spangled Banner. I'm so glad that Victory Plus allowed that, and that's happening throughout the NHL. And it really was a terrific tribute to the Gaudreau brothers. And I mean, we just continue to mourn two great players in hockey and the tragedy that happened to the Gaudreau family. But a very, very nice tribute. It was great to see Selena Ray back singing the Star Spangled Banner. So I will tell you, as my dog is singing right now, one of the aspects that I thought was really, really cool is that, you know, you guys came at the arena with the Stars loud and proud. So, and just kind of a backstory, a bet payoff on 105.3 The Fan on Friday was that Eric Chiafalo, somewhat during the show, had to sing the Star Spangled Banner from start to finish. So we were at Shakerton's in Arlington, and I happened to be there, and it was really, really funny, because when Eric got to that Stars part, everyone in Shakerton screamed Stars. And, you know, at first that used to bug me. I'll be honest, because I'm a big, like, hand over the heart traditionalist, but I do think that, you know, St. Louis has it, and the home of the Blues. And so now I've become accustomed to it, and, you know, I'm totally fine with it. And I think that's cool when you go to a Rangers game and you hear a couple people yell out Stars, or, you know, at a Cowboys game, or, you know, it's just cool to hear that, because it's a throwback to people thinking of our Dallas Stars. Okay, so let's get into the game. Let's talk about who played well. First, I want to remind everyone that it is preseason, and a couple of things that don't happen during preseason. Pete DeBoer and his team really have not worked on power play or penalty kill situations for a couple of reasons. The main being not enough practices. And the second reason is you have so many players, both defensively and in your forward position, that, you know, you can give the basics, but at the same time, you really can't grind, because you don't know who your regulars are on the kill and on the power play. And third is you're putting in different players each game. So there's no real way to install, but DeBoer said they were going to start working on special teams. That's part of the progress when it comes to training camp. But it is fascinating, because not everyone travels during preseason, because the Stars basically play every other day this preseason, and that just crams in six games into, you know, a short period of time. So, but you have a big roster, and you have not too many decisions to make, because really the Stars are set with their lineup, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But, you know, we saw just 39 seconds into the game why you want to get the legs going, but also the timing with Nils Lundqvist. He carried the puck from his end, and I can't say enough good things about Nils Lundqvist. I'll tell you what, looks great on the ice, looks solid. Last year really tried to build up his physique, and it looked like it continued in the offseason. And this was a reason that I personally would love to see Nils Lundqvist succeed. He's got terrific speed, specifically out of his end. Carried the puck, made a St. Louis player miss. But this is what happens during the preseason. Nils just made a slight adjustment, before heading into the blue zone or dumping it in. And that slight adjustment, the timing was off. Colin Blackwell was offsides. You're going to see that in preseason, not necessarily a bad thing, but those are the kind of kinks, just one of many examples that you have to work out. But I will say, for a game one, I was dialed into the game. There was some terrific physicality. I think the Blues brought a lot of physicality as some of their players. They have a young, energetic team. I think a lot of those players were trying to prove to the Blues staff that they deserve a roster spot or additional playing time in the American Hockey League. Liam Bischel. So we need to talk to Sean, because Sean and I went through this with Miro Heiskanen when it was Heiskanen or Heiskanen. And we've been calling him Bixel, but last night on the broadcast, it was Bischel. So I think what we're running into is a European pronunciation and an American pronunciation, and it'll be interesting what it looks like we're going with Bischel. We also ran into that with Tyler Seguin. If you ever listen or watch a Canadian broadcast, or Canadian announcers talk about Tyler, it's Tyler Seguin. It's not Seguin, but in America, it is Seguin. So, but I think Stars fans were probably joining me watching the game and say, wow, you're telling me that this guy is not going to start the season in a top six capacity defensively? Used his physicality, moved people off the puck. What I loved, what I saw in his scouting tape when I was looking at him, his skating ability is really, really good for a guy his size. I mean, he can make people miss with his skating. That is so rare. He pushes people out of the way. Love when Casey DeSmith was getting some attention in front of him, a nice little cross check. Will that likely be called during the regular season? Probably. But at the same time, you know what? Big Bish was saying, you know what, stay out of my crease and leave my goaltender alone. That is something that I think Lyubushkin, Dumba, Bischel, if he plays, we're seeing a more physical defensive core this year for the Stars. But offensively, I thought he played well. I thought he looked like he belonged out there. Now, it's just one preseason game. All eyes were on him, but it was impressive to see. Logan Stankoven, just like Wyatt Johnston did last year, if this is any indication what we're going to see from Logan Stankoven, remember, technically still a rookie, could win the Calder trophy. 9 of the 26 official shots taken were by Logan Stankoven. Had multiple opportunities, terrific eyes behind the net. I mean, so first of all, Victory Plus had a really nice camera angle there, and you could see what Stankoven was seeing, and he set up some terrific possibilities. Didn't result in goals, but that's okay. And the one thing that I love about these Stars youngsters, specifically Bork, Stankoven, and Johnston, is their back-checking ability. When you play the Dallas Stars, you have to have your rear view mirror on, because they're fast, they're going to catch up, and they're going to take away the puck. How many times did we see that last year, that Wyatt Johnston and Stankoven, when he came up, did that? Stankoven did it again last night. Also wanted to point out, I mentioned Nils Lundqvist. I thought he did a terrific job, and if you noticed, great job by Razor on the broadcast pointing it out, that Maverick Bork pushed him with his stick to get him going a little bit. That actually makes a difference. It's similar to a NASCAR draft at Daytona on a restricted plate, so to speak. It actually is an additional push. When you can get that bump, it really helps. And that allowed Lundqvist to get back into the play, and a really nice back check. Another time he slid across the crease and broke things up. So I want to give credit to the Stars' hustle with some of the youngsters last night. I thought it was terrific. And just like Stankoven, I thought Lundqvist really looked comfortable out there. But we got to talk about NSYNC as far as Bork and Stankoven, because, wow, it's already happening. Pete DeBoer is going to have a tough decision to make, because why wouldn't you put them together with Jamie Benn? They just look so comfortable together. So whether it happens or not, but it was tough to deny on the ice. The Stars did a really nice job as far as just specifically in the second period, just continuing to come back at the Blues. I thought the entire defensive core had a really nice game. Matt Dumba looked really good. Very, very smart, I thought, putting Dumba with Bischel, a nice NHL veteran, a physical presence, but a lot of experience on the same defensive pairing with Liam Bischel. I thought that was really smart by the coaching staff, and I thought Dumba looked good out there. Harley and Lundqvist was a nice pairing. And then I think we go to what I think makes you a cup contender. We can talk about the kids. We can talk about the goaltending of Ottinger. We can talk about, you know, Wyatt Johnston and will he take an even bigger step and the stars of this Dallas team. But one thing we really need to focus on is the job Jim Nill has done with depth. It was just about 5 years ago when the Stars were rolling out Ben and Sagan, and we forget about that. So that first line of Ben, Sagan, Radulov, then you had a second line. And after that, it was like, okay, maintain, spend time in their zone so you can give rest. So Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and Radulov, and when Pavelski joined the team, they could come up. Now, not only do you have a depth offensively, but let's talk about the defense. And two signings in the offseason who played in this game. Kyle Kobel-Bianco has NHL experience, played for Winnipeg, among other teams. I thought he played really well last night, looked comfortable out there, scored the game-winning goal. And we saw how Alex Petrovic looked in the playoffs. Granted, he was a little bit protected like Nils Lundqvist was. But once again, a guy with valuable NHL experience. So when you go down that roster defensively, you have Miro, Thomas Harley, Dumba, Lyubushkin, Esa Lindell, and Brendan Smith, who, by the way, is nearing 700 games, played for New Jersey last year, played just over 60 games for for New Jersey last year under his belt. Then you have Lundqvist as your number seven. So right there, you have your seven defensemen. And injuries will happen. Rest needs to take place. But let's say one or two go down. Then you bring up Bischel. Another one goes down. Kobel-Bianco comes up. Another one. Petrovic's there. That is massive depth. You have three players with NHL experience that can slide in defensively and not look out of place. So stick tap to Jim Nill and his staff on that. Another thing, two-thirds of the fourth line were in action tonight. I thought they looked really good. And Evgeny Dodonov and Colin Blackwell, can't say it enough. When I did my preseason, we'll call it behind enemy lines and talked to Chicago, they really liked Blackwell after he got healthy. Blackwell's one of those guys that can get in the scrums and cause a little agitation, and you want that out of your fourth liners. And scored a goal last night. So really nice pickup. And once again, nice room guy as well. So, and then we have that 13th forward position. And that's what I'm fascinated by. And that, I think, is going to play out till game four or five of the preseason. I thought Cole Lynn looked good last night. I thought he was very active. And that's what you want. And he has, once again, NHL experience and played really well for AHL's Coachella Valley last year, which is the minors of the Seattle Kraken. So he's going to fight for that spot. Blue Mel is going to fight for that spot. So there are some interesting forwards that are trying to stay on this Dallas roster. So we'll have to keep you updated on that. And as I mentioned, we talk about Joe Pavelski's loss. You talk about room guys and they mentioned on the broadcast that the tip drills are still happening. And I know it's a great loss, both on the ice and obviously in the room. And hopefully the Stars do a Joe Pavelski night, because I think that would be absolutely awesome. But you saw it just a little bit. You saw the physicality of Bischel, Dumba, Colin Blackwell getting in there. I think, you know, we were upset, rightfully so, with the loss of Chris Tanev defensively. Because one of the questions I have is, what is Esa Lindell going to look like without his pairing of Tanev? Because I thought he really improved when he was with Tanev. Why wouldn't you improve? Any defenseman would improve when you have Chris Tanev on the opposite side. I'm not saying that Esa Lindell was a bad signing. 5 years at that value for a top four defenseman is actually a very, very, very value-friendly deal if Esa Lindell can keep up his play. Lindell wanted to be here. The Stars wanted him here. But at the same time, I like the physicality when you talk about Dumba, when you talk about Lyubushkin, when you talk about Bischel. So I think in the offseason, very quietly, the Stars decided to get a little bit more physical on the blue line, which I think, remember, when that rink gets smaller in the playoffs, that's when the physicality ramps up. So that's when you're going to need more physical guys, guys that will stand up for their teammates, guys that don't mind getting involved in the scrums, guys that'll get stick taps in the locker room. Goaltending wise, Casey DeSmith looked really good. And that's great to see. Really, boy, does he mirror Jake Ottinger's goaltending style? A little bit different than Wedgie. Of course, we miss Wedgwood and hope he plays really well in Nashville, except when he gives UC Soros a break and plays against the Stars, which I'm sure will happen because you always want to play against your former teammates. So that's going to happen. And on that game, I will not be a Scott Wedgwood fan. Otherwise, I'm cheering you on, Wedgie. But Casey DeSmith on a 3-year deal looked really good starting his career with the Dallas Stars. A couple of questions came in or a couple of comments last night. Michael Moore says, okay, Dumba looks good in green. Just had to say it now. Yeah, boy, we quickly forgot about that hit on Pavelski. I guess we'll never forget, but we have some experience with Corey Perry. We all hated Corey Perry and what Corey Perry used to do. And then he signed here and he was a terrific signing by Jim Nill. And I think he was one of the reasons that they got to the Stanley Cup. So to have Matt Dumba, and what we want is Matt Dumba back to that Minnesota form, because really didn't see that in Arizona / Tampa Bay last year, but looked good in his opening game. And one of the things Joe O'Donnell from the Minnesota Wild, who calls the game, says, and I've told this to people, is he says, you're absolutely going to love Matt Dumba off the ice. He's a community guy. He loves being involved in the community. He's a great room guy, and he's a very friendly guy. So I think that's great when you can add that to your locker room and add a very nice piece that wants to get involved in the community in Matt Dumba. Jordan at Harper Hockey Fan, really enjoying the access the Dallas Stars are providing on Victory Plus. Hopefully Brad Alberts can come back on the pod midseason to talk more about Victory Plus. Of course, after the they go to Finland and play, we'll certainly have Brad Alberts come on. He was a terrific guest. And I can't wait to have Brad on again. And, you know, just as a side note, I think we have a terrific president in Brad Alberts. And when you look at the history, bringing the All-Star game here, bringing the Winter Classic here, remember this is not a traditional NHL city from eyes looking outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. So for him to be able to bring those events, and then those events, not only perform really well, but exceed everyone's expectations to the point where people are saying, when's the next one going to happen? And then to be involved in the game this year in Finland against the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. Certainly Dallas has been elevated nationally to another level. And I think Brad Alberts has a lot to do with that. He's been instrumental in Victory Plus. So I bet it was a nice sigh of relief from El Presidente last night that everything went well. And I'm sure there are going to be some tweaks. But overall, a real strong performance in game one for not just the Stars, but for Victory Plus. So that's going to do it for post-game edition number one. We are rolling, and hopefully you listened to this and said, okay, this wasn't preseason, Gavin Spittle. I kind of got my reps in the offseason, so I'm hoping you say, you know what? It's regular season, Gavin Spittle. I did not pop a Frosty for you today. I have to save those for the regular season. You know, they get a little expensive, so we got to save them for the regular season, but we will pop them throughout the season. Thank you, one and all, for supporting and listening to Spits and Suds. We'll be back soon with another episode. Have a great day, everyone.